Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Welcome to Breaking Beauty, the podcast all about the breakthrough people, products, and moments in beauty. We're your hosts, Jill Dunn and Carlene Higgins.
Hello, friends. It's Jill and Carlene here in your AirPods like we are every single Wednesday. You can count on that. We are two longtime beauty editors turned beauty podcasters. Hey there, Carlene. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing, Jill?
I am so good. I am, you know, fresh off my Taylor Swift high in Tampa. We were in New York together, Miami. It's just like there's a lot of things happening and I'm feeling really good about it.
I totally agree. And the red carpet season continues. I know we have we have so much eye candy to look at, which I personally love. Counting down the days till the Met Gala. By the time you guys hear this, it will have passed already. But I'm looking forward to seeing the looks.
Oh, yeah. And it's so fascinating that it's all about Karl Lagerfeld. And, you know, I was joking with you and, you know, he appreciated a certain silhouette, I will say.
Yes.
Whether or not it's politically correct to say it. But, you know, definitely he had a certain look that he favored. And I was like, nobody would have liked Ozempic more than Karl Lagerfeld. I'm quite sure of that. Him with his Diet Coke can and his Ozempic shot in the arm, like, yeah, I'm sure he's smiling down from heaven.
Yes, exactly. We were talking about how at the Met Gala there will sure to be a lot of slender physiques, as there has been the last few red carpet events. But in all seriousness, this episode is going to be great that you guys are about to hear, because we are welcoming back legendary makeup artist Patty Dubroff. This is her second time on our show. She was on back in July of 2019. She joined us for an episode all about makeup brushes 101. That was episode number 69, if you want to go back and have a listen. We knew we had to get her back, though, to get some of her actual makeup tips and tricks. You know, she started assisting Francois Nars back in the day more than 20 years ago. I think probably her biggest client right now that you see most often on her Instagram feed is Margot Robbie. She also works with Simone Ashley from Bridgerton. I miss that show. Elizabeth Olsen and so many more.
Patty is a Chanel makeup artist and she also works with Walita quite often. And we did record this one a couple of months ago. We sat down with her. And since that time, Carlene, Patty herself has gone somewhat viral, as she was the makeup artist that Sofia Richie chose for the wedding of the year. It was for her nuptials to Elliot Grange in the south of France. And, you know, I could not stop watching these videos, like her behind the scenes videos at the Paris Chanel Atelier, where they created her three custom dresses. Like, it's just exquisite work. And you kind of fall in love with Sofia and her personality, because you always saw her kind of out and about tied to these her, you know, pretty famous bows in the past, but she herself really never stepped out, and she's only 24, and she's just, you know, incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, honestly, you see these celebrity weddings, but usually the star is already huge, and, you know, so you'll watch it. But, and I know it's not like she was a nobody, but I feel like overnight since that wedding, she is now like, she's the moment now.
Yeah. So she herself only joined TikTok the weekend of her wedding. Like, that's a power move.
How many followers does she have? Do you know?
That I don't know. It was like at close to 500,000, I believe, over the, like, after the weekend. I'm looking that up right now. Oh my God. She has 980,000 followers in less than 1 week.
Wow. Amazing.
In less than 1 week. So that's incredible. And I think she must have given permission for her beauty team to kind of like put it out there what she used, because you don't often see them sharing.
Mm. Okay. Well, what was it? I need to know some of the highlights. Give me the highlights reel, and then we're going to jump into our interview.
A lot of people don't know that Sophia Richie is actually the beauty director for Nudestix.
Did not know that.
Yeah. So I think there were a few fascinating things about her look. Number one, she didn't wear foundation on her wedding day,
that's
which
shocking.
Is just, to me, that is mind blowing to me. Like, mm-hmm. I wish, I couldn't imagine going to a special event even as a guest and not wearing foundation.
Yeah.
Like, I wish.
Golf claps to the esthetician as well, because that's the only way that's going to happen. Really?
I've been waiting for that to come out. I'm not entirely sure who did her skin prep leading up, but she looked incredible. And she is 24. We have to keep that in mind too. But so there was definitely a nice mix of like high, low, and mastige. So she used like three different Nudestix products to get like the cheek look. And then there was a Chanel moment on the eyes, this like gold gloss that is sadly now discontinued.
Oh.
And Patty then also used Chanel Rouge Coco Balm lip color called Pink Delight. It's in one of those white tubes.
I
believe you and I both. Yeah, you and I both are fans of that. She also used this really interesting lip contour from a brand called Dibs, which I had never heard of before.
Never heard of it.
But it's this product called the No Pressure Lip Definer. It almost has a slight gray undertone.
Fascinating.
Lip pencil.
Okay. Okay.
And I think the most surprising thing of all was that there was a drugstore mascara I used.
Oh, which one?
The Maybelline Lash Sensational Waterproof.
Oh, yeah. Got to be waterproof. All the tears.
100%.
I think that's what's great about Patty and her looks is that they really are minimalist. We're not talking about any crazy looks really that she does. She just does it so well. It's so polished. Mm-hmm. The skin's very fresh, but she doesn't do that overly dewy thing either. It's just so good. So let's get into it. Patty is here to help us elevate our makeup looks. Today, we're going to be chatting about why Patty believes that eyeliner is the new eyeshadow. I'm so with her on this point. We also find out how to achieve a 90s 3D lip. That's a look she created for Elizabeth Olsen back at the Oscars. She also lets us in on a celebrity makeup artistry secret, a trick she swears by for looking snatched under the eye area, and the exact product she's using on many of her clients to achieve the most natural, beautiful brow.
And she also walks us through a trick she calls zoning for foundation, which involves two different application techniques. So you kind of get your own strobe light effect on your face. I hadn't really heard about that before. And as always, like I mentioned, we will link to every single product that we talk about over on our website, which is breakingbeautypodcast.com.
Here she is, Patty Dubroff. Friendly reminder to everyone that Mother's Day is the new birthday. Think about it. What's the more important day? The day that I passively entered this world, didn't have to do anything, took a tube ride, popped out the other end, and started demanding everything from everyone? Or the days, that's plural, that I was in labor when my epidural only worked on one side, gave birth with one leg jackknifed into the air, and basically suffered from PTSD afterwards? I mean, people deserve a cake and candles for that. Am I right? So if you're looking for a way to show some love this year, Macy's makes it so easy to tailor your gift hunt to the mom figure in your life with their handy dandy gift finder. You can shop by gift category. Maybe she's a fragrance queen. They have that Dior J'adore parfum d'eau that Jill talked about before on our show. It's like a fragrance milk. alcohol-free, really meant to be worn on the skin. So lovely. Or maybe you want to click on pajamas and loungewear. I really like their Lily Silk matching sets. And if you're really stuck for ideas, you can shop by gift lists. These are curated roundups for every type of mom. For the mom who has everything, Lissy Silk pillowcases, Lauren Ralph Lauren straw bags for her next trip. There's floral printed Coach wristlets. So beautiful. There's spa day at home gift ideas. I mean, which mom doesn't love that? They even have gifts for grandma. And the great thing about the Macy's gift finder is even if you can't be there with them in real life, maybe they're far away, you can always send them something nice or gift a friend who might be missing their mom. Maybe burn a nice candle in their name. So head on over to Macy's.com/gift finder to make this Mother's Day a memorable one. That's Macy's.com/gift finder.
Hey, I'm Molly Sims.
And I'm Emisha Gormley.
We are two best friends with one common obsession.
Beauty.
And by that, we mean everything that makes you look
and feel
beautiful. We tried it all and we've got your back. We'll be calling on all our favorite health experts, industry insiders, and friends to answer all your beauty questions. Consider us your beauty 411 and sometimes your 911.
From how to fix brassy hair
to the pros and cons of laser facials
and always with a cocktail in hand.
Always. So be prepared to be obsessed. Check out Lipstick on the Rim wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Breaking Beauty Podcast, Patty. And I feel like what I need to do first is issue you a public apology because the last time you were on our show, I made you clean my makeup brushes.
I clean a lot of makeup brushes, so it's just kind of par for the course. It's a daily event.
But for dramatic effect, it was like I brought my grossest ones. And I afterwards was like, that sounded better in theory than it was in practice. And I made like one of the best makeup artists in the world clean my dirty brushes. So I apologize for that.
No need to apologize. But I do hope that as a result, you have been maintaining the cleanliness of your brushes.
Yes, yeah? I am.
So we're going to talk to you today about not just makeup brushes. We're going to move on to your actual makeup tips because you are fantastic. And I'm going to show you a look that you'll be familiar with on Elizabeth Olsen from the Oscars.
That was just a couple days ago.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we want to talk about elevating people's makeup routine, like little tricks and tweaks. And so for this one, it's obviously all about the red lip. You guys can't see this, but Elizabeth just has her hair pulled back in like a center part. It's a very clean look. Her complexion looks flawless, a little bit matte, and she's wearing a red lip, but it's not one dimensional. It seems like you've kind of done something to make it more interesting, like a level up on the classic red lip. So tell us about that.
Well, I'm not sure if you saw, I posted on my stories, like the inspiration board that I had sent to Lizzie.
Okay.
But what it is it's a whole bunch of photos from the 90s. Specifically.
I had a feeling.
Specifically. Oh my God, where is this? Yeah. Specifically, there's a lot of Drew Barrymore.
Oh, yes.
Winona Ryder. Uh-huh. The idea was this kind of like 90s. You know, this 90s glam, and which very much in the late 90s, like a bricky red was like a thing, you know? So, yeah. So I wouldn't call Elizabeth. I wouldn't call the lip a red lip. Mm-hmm. I'd call it a brick lip for sure. Because, you know, like a red immediately comes to mind something that's more ruby
or like a blue red.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Fire engine or whatever. So this is really like a brick.
Yeah.
And the way that I achieved it was I first used a very deep brown, kind of a deep orangey brown as a base. Mm. It's a Chanel color number 212.
Good memory, for whatever reason. Visual memory.
Only because I wanted to make sure that it was in stock and all that stuff.
Right.
And then after that, I used a darker brown, like an orangey brown lip liner to contour out the shape of the lip. So again, those two dark tones were really forming the base, and then a blot. And then in the center, I used like a very fiery red pencil, a thick pencil, jumbo pencil.
Okay.
I'm not going to say who made it because it's not Chanel.
It's but it was
someone else. It's
but
it was
Brand.
A very fiery shade of a matte, bright orangey red, mm-hmm. only in the center. Okay. And then I kind of pressed that around, had her like mush her lips and blot it. And that's what formed the kind of the really gave it that fire intensity, but it had that really deep base.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I did it. So yes, the dimension was definitely a thing that I worked to achieve. And then the skin was super simple. There's the slightest amount of like a matte kind of peachy okra to frame out the eye,
mm-hmm.
you know, lashes simple, like really everything is a very simple so that the lip would stand out.
Yeah.
That's the thing I've really come to learn is that even for like these giant, big, important red carpets, of course you want polish and you want finish, but by overcomplicating, it mm-hmm. just can like overly hide the person.
Oh, right. Interesting.
You know, like, don't overcomplicate it. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah.
Even for Margot's look, it was elevated, but it wasn't overly complicated.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, ooh, I need to do a smoky eye. It's like, no, a little bit of black eyeliner, smudge it and add a lot of mascara. The end.
Yeah.
Just like she would do if she was going out on her own.
Yeah. I want to ask you about foundation, because as you mentioned, you know, the look you did for Elizabeth Olsen, the look you did for Margot Robbie here, it is a simple look, but it is so elevated. So what are your tricks for foundation that are kind of the game changer that people might not be, or just complexion? And, you know, she's got this great sort of whiter highlight through here. What can you share like on that front?
Yeah. Well, it's definitely spending time prepping skin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that the skin looks very much alive and very juicy and very, skin so juicy.
Yeah.
So prepping the skin, super important. I was very lucky on Oscar day. Margot had her skin prepped by an incredible facialist who's in New York, was here taking care of a lot of girls, Fabrizio Armand.
Uh-huh.
So she came to me with skin perfectly prepped. If that wouldn't have happened, I would have spent time working, you know, with a few different tools, a microcurrent, like a cold tool, Rifa rollers, et cetera, to really like give the skin an enlivening by stimulating it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it's also, you know, the prep of the skincare product. So something that is like, you know, not too oily, but has a good rich moisture on the perimeter. And then something that's mattifying through the center so I don't have to rely on a lot of powder.
Okay.
So that mattification is like kind of built into the first layer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Instead of applying a lot of like greasy or whatever foundations through the center and then having to try to mattify it after with powder.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to keep it matte first and apply thinner layers. And then with the foundation, just like the lipstick, it's multiple shades. You know, there's three shades of foundation that into making it look like she has no foundation on her face. Three shades of foundation, you know, two shades of concealer at least.
Yeah.
You know, one for the center and one for if there's anything that needed coverage along the sides or whatever. And then a good dose of loose powder, not minimal, but, you know, finding the right balance between a good dose of loose powder and a minimal dose of loose powder.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's multiple shades, you know, that are important for giving, once again, dimension.
Yeah.
You can't rely on one thing, because if you pick like a foundation shade that's based on your cheek, it's going to look too dark for the center of your face.
Mm-hmm.
So my way to like help people find their shades is swatch foundation on your neck, in the center of your neck. And that's going to be the shade that's going to match the center of your face. So you want there to be that continual line between the neck through the center of the face.
Mm-hmm.
That's a brightness that opens up things.
Mm-hmm.
And then swatch foundation on your cheeks and your forehead. And there may be, you know, that's where you may realize you need one more shade or two more shades, depending on if you have discolorations or things like that. So
and these shades should disappear.
It should disappear. Exactly. But the important thing is not thinking that the shade that disappears on your cheek is going to be right for the center of your face or vice versa.
Yeah.
If you put that middle of the center of the face shade on your cheek, it's going to be too light. It's going to make you look like a moon face.
Yeah.
You put that cheek shade on the center of your face, it's going to make you look kind of dark and heavy through the center and not bright and open.
Okay. Yeah.
So those two at least are so important.
We need a name for this technique
because this is the kind of shit that goes viral on TikTok, but it just needs that name, you know? It's like we need the foundation,
yeah,
or like the something.
Talk about it. And, you know, I've heard, you know, underpainting and yeah. all of those viral things. It's just stuff makeup artists always do.
Totally.
And then someone's yeah. like, oh,
they
TM let's give
it.
It a thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good old TikTok.
The Patty Hat trick. That's what I'm calling it.
I mean, and then also I've got like at least, you know, I've got bronzer, I've got blush, all of that giving more and more dimension.
Okay, we're going to reel it back for 1 second. So you talked about, I loved this idea of like almost zoning the base before you even put on the foundation. You talked about using something on the perimeter.
Moisturizer.
Mm-hmm. And then mattifier, something more mattifying. Mm-hmm. So what did you use? Because that in itself is like, that is such a fantastic
I'm not going to talk about products specifically. Like, okay. I'd rather not, you know, like.
But not a primer.
In the center of the face is a primer.
Okay.
But it's
okay.
specifically one that is not illuminating. Use one that's called mattifying or pore minimizing.
Yes. Okay,
those are the things that are going to be more mattifying, blurring, and create
blurring
more of a matte base. Yeah.
Okay.
Primers that are illuminating, I think, are a waste of time.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Always, because an illuminating primer is just going to enhance wrinkles, mm-hmm, fine lines. It's just, I know from experience.
Yeah.
And then in terms of moisturizer, it's whatever's right for your skin, but it's something that's like, you know, has, you know, some kind of denser hydration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I personally always get tripped up on that because, you know, so many makeup artists do say that it's about the skin prep. And I'm just like terrified to put like I'll name check some things like an Embryolisse or like a Magic Cream because I just feel like it's going to all just slide away.
Well, it's using very little of those, you know, like, you know, skin. Well, Aleda Skin Food is a perfect example of it's an excellent, you know, cream to use for that perimeter, but you need very, very, very little.
Yeah.
You know,
like,
and it's
we're
like
talking about how much, like a pin
a
size?
Tiny bit tapped into the fingertips.
Okay.
And then tapped into the face. It's not like smearing on a whole bunch.
Yeah.
Because the more you smear on, then everything's going to smear off easily too, you know? Yeah.
And when you use the foundation, again, you're kind of zoning. Do you use a different finish in the center versus the sides, or it depends on
On what's going on with the skin. You know, it depends what's going on with the skin, but I'm pretty much, I have some foundations, Japanese foundations that I love. I can name check. It's Saku.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Keeps coming up, this brand.
Yeah. It's,
every makeup artist.
It's flawless. I literally have been using Saku foundations for more than a dozen years.
Wow.
Maybe we're going on like 14 when I discovered it in the UK.
They sell it at
Harrods. Sorry. I discovered it in Japan, actually.
Okay.
Maybe it's more than 14 years, but they are they sell in the UK and in France, sadly not in America.
Yeah.
But I have a connection.
Oh.
And I'm really loyal.
Yeah.
Highly loyal. Hey. And sometimes I use other concealers and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chanel also makes the number one range.
Yes.
The foundations are beautiful.
Yeah.
And I will use those when I want something really more sheer and more light. Not that Saku's heavier, but Saku has been like, I'm just a creature of habit.
Yeah.
Pausing to shout out one of our show partners, Vacation. So I first discovered Vacation on Instagram a couple of years ago, and it was honestly like stumbling upon somebody's Club Med vacation photos from 1985. Like, that's the whole vibe. And I was instantly drawn in. So I like their sunscreens. I want to wear their merch. Now they even have a vacation perfume. It's called the Vacation Eau de Toilette. I am wearing it right now. So it's got the nostalgia-inducing scent of classic sunscreen notes like coconut, banana, pineapple, and orange blossom with unmistakable poolside aromas as well. So there's like pool water and even pool toy and swimsuit lycra. And what I really appreciate about it as a beauty editor is that it is a fine fragrance. They tapped a couple of industry icons to create this scent, one of them being Rodrigo Flores Rue, who I have interviewed many times. And he is the perfumer famously behind Clinique's Happy. And I just think it's a really beautiful scent. It's not overpowering. It feels soft on the skin. And I can't wait to be wearing it all summer long. And great news, listeners of the podcast get 20% off their entire order with code BEAUTY at vacation.inc. We'll link to this offer in our show notes and on our website. Once again, listeners of the podcast get 20% off their entire order of vacation with code BEAUTY at vacation.inc. That's spelled vacation.inc and use code BEAUTY for 20% off your entire order.
So we just wanted to get into that next step that you mentioned, the, you know, the contouring, the blushing. Tell us what you might recommend to the woman at home that she might not have thought of for like just elevating that next step in the.
Yeah. So the next step, like what I after foundation, then I'll go in with like a kind of a stipple brush, mm-hmm. which is one that's not too dense, that has a little air in it, and a cream bronzer and one mm-hmm. that doesn't have a shimmer. And I'll go around and I'll start kind of like framing the face with that bronzer mm-hmm. to, and kind of where the sun shines, mm-hmm. but like really using it as a frame, yeah. perimeter, forehead.
Is it like that three shape that we used to be taught about?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, without getting too 80s, you know,
yes,
at all.
I know.
But, you know, keeping it under the cheekbone, uh-huh. keeping, you know, it looking like where the sun would actually hit.
Yeah.
Blending that in really well. And then on the apples of the cheek, adding a blush that is complimentary, but also in this case, quite warm.
Yeah.
So I didn't want the blush to look like a color. I wanted it to look just like a healthy flush from the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So using another cream blush that has a little more brightness than a bronze, but not too far off from a bronze, that on the apples of the cheek. And then, you know, going back with the concealer and really making sure that those kind of like sharp, not sharp, but like the kind of like that open upwardness mm-hmm. along the sides of the eyes stays open and the blush didn't interfere with that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You don't want to get too, you know, you don't want to get the blush too close to the eye because then it all gets, you don't have that brightness anymore. Mm-hmm. And then after a light dusting of powder at the end, then there's like you know, those Balm de Chanel's.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. They're so beautiful. And
they
like
are.
The transparent is mm-hmm. amazing. The bronzy one is amazing. Yeah. But I actually use the new one, the red one.
Oh,
I saw that.
Yeah. And that red one, because it's got that sheerness, it wasn't adding a lot of color. It was just adding this kind of like lift.
Yeah.
Like a brightness.
Yeah.
And I use that like on the top of the cheekbone.
Okay.
Not too close to the eye. Again, I didn't want the color up there, but more like on the top of the cheekbone towards the apples.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just to lift it all.
Yeah.
Give it a little bit of brightness.
Yeah. So this is the balm is the one, guys, who when you're listening, it's the one that's in a stick and it's a bit of a highlighter.
It's a highlighter. It's actually, it is a highlighter. And I think it's an excellent highlighter for, you know, women who are older also, because it doesn't have like little bits of glitter, which can, you know, accentuate
very wearable
lines and whatever. It's super wearable.
Yeah.
And it's wearable on the eye, on the cheek, you know, even on the lip in a pinch, it can like open up, you know, like make lips feel less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Chanel bronzer is so iconic at this point. The one that's in the cream and the
that's
pot.
That's what I used. Yeah. Exactly.
Is there any new way of wearing that?
New shades.
Yeah.
And so that's what really makes it new because, you know, for so long it was just that one, that one iconic shade, which was beautiful for very fair skin, but not really great for people that weren't very fair. So now there are a few more shades.
Okay.
And I even go and use the very darkest one minimally to like use it again as a contour with a C instead of a...
Yeah. Tell us more about, you mentioned the concealer at the end to kind of clean up. I thought that was a great tip too.
Yeah, it's not adding a lot of more extra layers of product, but it's more like what's left on the brush after that brush that was used for the center of the face, which, you know, is the brightening shade.
Right.
Using that to really just like having that always around to make sure that there's a clean and I don't want to say sharpness, but there is a bit of a sharpness, a clean sharpness on the sides of the eye, like like kind of giving a lift.
Yeah.
Lifting. It helps lift the eye.
Lift
the eye, lift the face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great tip for like a, you know, a final just sort of cleaning
up. It's a final
lifting.
Thing. It's always like really make sure, even after doing eye makeup, go back and make sure that, you know, so many people when they're doing their eyeshadow, they're following the shape of their eye. And when they get to the corner, they're following that corner shape, which maybe has a little bit of a downward.
Yeah.
And if you go a little bit too much downward, it's going to drag the whole thing down. Yeah. So then you take your concealer brush and you just swipe it along that edge. Sorry, I'm making noises. swipe it along that kind of corner edge, and that'll lift you up, lift you back up.
Yeah.
Lift up you up.
Toward like the corner of your brow, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Corner of the eye, up towards the corner of the brow, up towards the temple.
Yeah. Great tip. Let's talk about brows, because that is like the hidden, not so hidden, but like the subtle detail that, you know, can make such a difference on a person's face. So do you have any tips?
Yeah, I'm also like, I guess I'm just like a less is more kind of person.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be blocking brows out or overdoing it, or, you know, I'm pretty old school. It's like, you know, a little bit of fill in, try to give the arch a lift, but not make it look like there's like a ton of heaviness in there.
Yeah.
Tone's important. I'm always trying to use the lightest tone possible, you know, to get enough, like the lightest tone possible to get the effect of depth before going to something darker. So I'm going to look for the highlight color as opposed to the root color.
You know, interesting.
So for you, you know, your hair's darker at the root. I'm going to like try to find that lighter shade of warm brown.
Yeah.
And not go to the darkest shade.
Yeah.
And maybe have the darkest shade around if there's a spot that's a little more stubborn that I, you know, need an extra fill in, or if it'll just be that like one little spot that'll give the lift, but not going to the darkest shade
straight away. Yeah,
definitely. And it's,
and brushing, like applying and then brushing, applying and then brushing. I do like these pens a lot that Christy Stryker has made.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she has a line, KS and Co, I think she's calling it.
That's right.
And, you know, those brow pens have been around for quite a while. In, you know, like a lot of the Asian brands have had them. But the frustrating thing is the tones would kind of turn a little green or be a little too dark, or, you know, and especially the blondes would turn a little green. I feel like Christy really got it right with the tones and the texture.
Okay.
She did it right. So I've been using those a bit.
That's amazing. Yeah. And where do you start putting the color in the brow? Because I think a lot of people start right by their eye, but
I don't
by the arch.
I kind of, not even the arch and not even the inner corner. It's kind of like, I kind of start with the underline of the inner, how do I say it? Not the closest to the bridge of the nose, but kind of in that zone. I'll start with that under, fill it, making sure that that underline there, that inner part is strong, and then work to the highest point.
Okay.
And then the edge. And then I'll go back and do the innermost corners gently and put it on, and then usually take it off, because I find personally when it's too strong and harsh on that inner point, it can look a little aggressive.
Yeah. Right. Personally. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And the pens, like I've been afraid of the pens because they're strong. Like they give quite
Christy's
a bit of pigment.
Aren't that strong.
Oh, okay.
Hers are a little bit less strong than some of the other ones. Yes, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Some of them. And then you
like
also.
The pomades. I'm just like.
Yeah, it can be too intense. Or the pomades, you have to be very, very minimal, like have a little bit on the brush. And it's the tiniest little flicks. It's almost like you're drawing a hair at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hair by hair.
Right.
Pencils are more forgiving. You don't have to be as hair by hair.
Yeah.
But they also can look kind of heavier and denser.
Right. So. Okay. Gotcha.
All right. And what are we doing with eyeshadow these days? Carlene and I were talking about this, how there was, you know, it was just like the era of the makeup palette. Like there was like a million palettes launching all the time with eyeshadow. And then it just kind of feels like maybe there's not quite as much innovation, or the looks are definitely changing. So how are you using eyeshadow now? Is it cream? Is it powder? Yeah, is it matte? Is it frost? What are you doing?
I don't use a whole lot of eyeshadow anymore. I mean, I definitely have some, and they're generally, it's in there. It's just more hidden.
Yeah.
And I'll usually start with like a creamy pencil to give contour, or a creamy shadow that's usually flat and matte. That is like I'm contouring the eye, shaping the eye, giving the crease depth, and buffing it away as if it was contour on the skin.
Interesting.
The same technique of like carving out and then blending so it's disappears. The same thing with a creamy shadow. I'll use a creamy bone or like a skin tone or bone tone shadow to brighten the center of the lid, buff, and then I'll like the lightest like fluffy dome brush of matte shadow that matches that pencil to just set it, but not layering shadow. And then usually kind of mainly I'll put a little bit of brightness for, you know, if I'm doing that clean eye or that gently sculpted eye, there will be like something that adds a little like light to the center of the lid, but it can be a balm stick.
Okay.
So it can be moist, mm-hmm. or it can be the tiniest little bit of shimmer, but it's like so specific and placed like in the center of the lid. And then my finger is moving it to diffusing it and like taking away a lot of the kind of quote unquote frosting.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. I'm just not into like an eyeshadowy look right now.
Yeah.
It
feels
dated.
I think that's a great tip too, honestly, for women at home if they do want to add a bit of color.
Pencils are great. Pencils are your friends. I'm sorry I cut you off.
Oh, that's okay.
Pencils are my friends. Like if I want to sneak a color in, I'll pull out the pencils and maybe put like a navy blue liner really close to the lash line and give it a smudge. And that's a way to sneak in a little bit of color. Yeah. Pencils are good places to add accents of tone, color.
Yeah, I agree. It's funny. We were just talking about this the other day. I was like, Jill, there's no eye palette that I recommend or even use. I'm actually using more of like a face palette and I just use that on my on my eyes instead. And, you know, but I do like this idea too that you said of like picking up a color in what you're wearing, because if people are a little bit lost and they're like, oh, I might want to try and play with a bit of color and like look at what you're wearing. That's what as professionals do, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the outfit is, you know, it's obviously the woman and her face is the jumping off point, but like the outfit is the next most important thing. And then if the clothes are neutral, then it's like, well, what color is the jewelry? Is there anything there? Is it gold or silver? You know, it's like, you know, looking for all the cues for something that will help bring harmony.
Yeah.
And it's not about matchy-matchy, but it's about harmonization.
Right. Today's episode is brought to you in part by Nutrafol. So with Mother's Day around the corner, it's time to pay homage to the wonder of motherhood. But there are some things that maybe aren't so wonderful. And one of those things that nobody told me was how your hair can start to fall out after breastfeeding. I distinctly remember the crown of broken hairs all around my hairline. It was like a micro mullet of the worst kind. And it was actually my hairdresser who told me that this was completely normal. But I still walked away thinking there was nothing I could do about it. 30 million women are impacted by weakened or thinning hair. If you're among them, know you're not alone and that there's a solution you can trust to deliver results. Let me throw some more numbers at you. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, clinically shown to improve hair growth, thickness, and visible scalp coverage. In fact, more than 3,000 top doctors and stylists recommend Nutrafol as an effective and high-quality solution for healthier hair. But there's more than one reason that your hair might be thinning. There's stress, hormones, environment, nutrition, and metabolism. And Nutrafol supports healthy hair growth from within by targeting all five causes through whole body health. They actually offer three unique formulas to support women throughout all stages of life, including postpartum and menopause. And each formula is physician formulated using natural, drug-free, medical-grade ingredients in consistently effectively dosages, so you know you're getting the most reliable results. In one clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after 6 months. You might even experience thicker, stronger, and faster growing hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. You can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show by going to Nutrafol.com and entering the promo code BREAKING to save $10 off your first month's subscription. This offer is only available to U.S. customers for a limited time, plus free shipping on every order. Get $10 off at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code BREAKING. Okay, mascara. Any tips that, you know, what you get asked about most? What's the one game changer there?
Well, I kind of go between using mascaras or Lashify, depending on who and where and what and when.
Yeah.
Because I don't use any other false lashes. And if I don't use Lashify, I use mascara. It's all about that it's all about that brush, really, you know? It's all about that brush. It's again something I don't want to overcomplicate matters, but I'm going to find the best mascara possible. For me, those are Chanel.
Yeah.
For me, the new Chanel is the most beautiful one. The
long one?
The longer one.
Yes.
The brush is really nice because it's a really good like comb.
Yeah.
You know, I love La Volume if I want something chunky and dense and someone's got like a lot of lash already and I can just, I don't have to be too particular. But if I really want to comb it through that newer one.
Yeah.
I don't even know what it's called. I'm forgetting right now, but it's the longer one.
Yeah. I know
that's
the one.
My go to.
Is it the noir one? The one that you noir, called the limousine?
Yeah. I called it the limousine.
The noir
of the
allure mascara.
Mascaras.
Yeah. That's what exactly. It's called. Yeah.
It's the extra long.
It's the long one that has like, yeah, it kind of like close out as if it was a lipstick.
Yeah.
Yes. It is the most beautiful brush.
Yeah.
So
I know they came out with it in red.
Yeah, I used the red.
Summer.
Yeah, I used the red on Simone Ashley the other day on her bottom lashes.
Oh,
and it was
cool.
Really cool. Like, she was a little bit like, oh, red on the bottom. I was like, it just makes the whites of the eyes even brighter.
Oh. Okay.
I love colored mascaras. Like, yeah. As a little hint, like a little, like,
yeah,
something hidden
a little
in there.
Wink to
but
it. Yeah.
Yeah, the redness is really great for making the whites of the eyes brighter.
Oh, really?
It's an interesting phenomenon.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Leave it to Chanel. Yeah.
Another
to figure
attempt.
That out.
And it's probably, and it's limited edition, I'm
yes,
sure. So
of
if you want to get it now,
yeah, get
you
it
may
now.
Never see it again.
Just like those cool bombs. Do you use a curler?
I do.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I use the Syrah one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Most girls like a curl. There are some girls who say, no, I don't like to curl my lashes.
Oh, that's
you know,
funny. Yeah.
It's a very kind of small percentage, but yeah, always a curl. It's like the difference of the blinds in a room being drawn halfway and there's not as much light in the room.
Yeah.
And then you lift the blinds and you get all the light in the room. It's the same thing with the lashes. You lift the lashes and there's more light
right
in the eye.
I need to stop.
I love that analogy.
That step.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I'm not wearing any makeup now, but if I were to wear makeup, it's like, or if I'm not even to wear makeup, but I want to elevate a little, I'll curl my lash. Boom.
Yeah, got it.
And I noticed that you do use Lashify quite a bit.
I do. I use it on myself when I'm wearing makeup.
Yeah.
And I do use it on some clients and I am obsessed. I'm obsessed with how it's the first time I've used false lashes that don't look like fake. That they don't look like fake lashes. That they actually have the ability to look like they're growing out of your eyes, eyeballs, you know?
Yeah. I've played around. I'm not good. Great at putting them on. Yeah.
It's a little bit of a learning curve, but I actually find it much easier to do on myself than on other people.
I've heard that from other makeup artists.
Just because, I don't love doing lashes on anybody, period. Yeah. It's not my thing. And, you know, there's something for everybody. Yeah. But on myself, I can do it so fast now.
Yeah.
Literally, bing, bang, boom. It's just about getting used to where to look and, you know, your angles and erasing anything you knew about lashes.
That's so true.
False lashes.
So true.
You gotta, it's almost like my friend Sahara who developed it. She said makeup artists can be the ones who have the hardest time because they have to unlearn something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To do something new.
Yeah. And basically, if you guys haven't tried it, it's like it goes under the lashes instead of on top. So that's the biggest difference.
Yeah.
And it's like,
and there's no glue or?
There's a bond. But you apply it as if it looks like a thin mascara.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So
the bond goes on the lashes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then each of the clusters.
Yeah.
They kind of click on or connect to that bond under the lash.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to fuse them together.
There's a little clamper that comes with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a patented, like it fuses them together.
It's
She's an inventor.
It's an innovation. Like, you know, you don't see that. That's something that's completely brand new.
Yeah. It's very rare in the beauty space where there is something that's brand new.
So this is truly like a lash extension at home.
It is.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was developed as, to take, you know, like again, Sahara, who developed it, she was a lash extension kind of person.
Yeah.
And she just was getting frustrated with having to go for those fill-in appointments.
So tell us about, is there anything that we missed? Anything that's like a huge potential difference maker in people's makeup routine?
Just being true to who you are, you know, like, and not trying to like fit into some TikTok trend box, you know, like, yeah, try the things out, but like really like, you know, I think that the most beautiful women are the ones who feel utterly confident in what they believe, who they believe they are and how they express themselves. So, you know, and that, I don't know, I'm just, I don't love when people feel like they need to like cookie cutter follow trends.
Yeah.
And so like really like, yes, acknowledging that there's inspiration out there, but like who are you and what makes you feel like you?
Right.
And like be true to that.
Yeah.
You know, and take a little more time in making sure that your skin like looks and feels its best before slapping a bunch of stuff on top of it.
Yeah.
And that for me is like the biggest thing I've learned in my, as I've gotten older is that yes, makeup can enhance you, but if your skin doesn't have vitality already, you know, you're just trying to, you're trying to find a way to make the skin look vital, let the skin have its vitality and then enhance it instead of trying to recreate that, it doesn't have.
Right. Yeah.
So that's about, you know, health and well-being and and enlivening things. I'm a big believer in, you know, stimulate and enliven instead of, you know, basically paralyzing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Patty. This was a joy. I learned so much from you.
Me too.
I really did. And continue to share all of your behind the scenes stuff on Instagram. I love it.
Yes.
Thank you so much,
thank
Patty.
Thank you so
You're
much.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can find details on every product mentioned in today's episode, along with our exclusive promo codes, on our blog at breakingbeautypodcast.com.
While you're there, be sure to sign up for our newsletter. Every episode will be delivered directly to your inbox, so you won't miss a single thing.
And get social with us. Let us know what you think of the episode. You can follow us on Instagram at Breaking Beauty Podcast.
And did you know we also have a private Facebook group? Just search Breaking Beauty Podcast Chat Room.
You can even leave us a voicemail at any time with questions or feedback at 1-844-227-0302.
And don't forget to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast fix. Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts, where you can show us some love by writing a review.
See you next Wednesday.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.